Doc. The clock has started.
Roger.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Hey, good morning, Kenny.
Mute switch.
Bye. Good morning, Kenny.
Yeah.
How you doing? It's Tuesday, September 6th, 2016. We're live right now, as we always are, Tuesdays and Fridays. Well, more on that later. Goodstuff.fm/live. If you'd like to, you can call the show right now, 949-342-6578. So we're back. It's Tuesday. Friday's show, a little different. I apologize to everyone, really, because that's
why would you apologize?
Because I'm always sorry. I feel because I share this goodstuff.fm with an apologetic Canadian, I feel like it's my duty to at least inject a little bit of that in one of the shows during the week, and then Friday I'm just not sorry whatsoever.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Good, good. Well, Friday we tried the long lost ancient tastes of the freeze-dried ice cream, astronaut ice cream.
It's still sitting on my desk.
Yeah, it stayed on my desk for about 18 months. So good luck. It's not going anywhere.
I'm not going to be able to get rid of it.
Mm-mm.
It's gonna outlast both you and I.
Yes, forever. Forever and ever and ever. It truly will be the ancient astronaut ice cream.
Does it have an expiration?
Ancient astronaut ice cream.
Oh, it does. It has a best buy.
Does it have
April 27th, 2018? Or it could be 2018.
Yes, knows? Yes, I think so. Does it contain in the ingredients Giorgio Sucralose?
There's a big sticker on it. Hold okay, on.
That's
take off the. Oh, that's gross adhesive sticker. Okay. What was the thing that you were asking about?
No, that was my joke. That was ancient astronaut ice cream.
Ancient aliens. Locust bean.
Okay.
What?
What? What? Wait. What do you mean?
Hold on. I got more sticker to take off here.
Okay.
Locust bean gum.
Bean gum.
Cellulose gum.
Okay.
Red 30, blue one.
What?
Carrageenan.
What?
Milk fat.
Mm-hmm.
So
no astronauts is what you're saying.
No.
Okay.
Sorry. This is very riveting here.
It's.
I put the sticker back on though. The adhesive still works.
Good. Good. Well, the whole reason that we're stalling here, Kenny, is because I feel like we need to stall until tomorrow.
Oh man. Nothing today is going to matter.
No, not
except
at all.
The show, but nothing. Ah, I'm so excited for tomorrow. But I'm big on Apple. That's me. I like Apple. You've jumped the Apple ship.
Hey, hold on. Hey, hold it right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. I have no idea what just happened.
Calling from space.
Yeah. I truly have no idea. As Aaron,
I think that's missing half its bits.
As Aaron gets further away from the podcasting universe, the signal degrades a little bit. So I think that's the problem there. So Apple's event, Kenny. I like Apple. You like Apple. I do. I truly do like Apple. I use an Apple computer myself. My whole family uses Apple computers. Come on, we're an Apple family.
Right.
Cuckoo, ca-choo, right. Kenny.
That's not what he says.
It's close enough. I'm an Apple. You're an Apple. We all buy iPhones because
goo 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 goo.
Mm-hmm, that's true. So Apple is set to unveil the new iPhones as we expect at a San Francisco event on Wednesday. And according to all the rumors, Kenny, here's what we can expect. And let's see how true to life this is truly going to be. A faster processor. Check.
Yeah, duh.
Okay, got that. Improved cameras.
Duh.
Yeah, duh. New colors.
I'm not sold on that.
I think they'll bring the dark or dark blue blackish ones back.
Back? Like, they never had that.
No, they did. iPhone 5s were more of a dark blue space black spectrum.
I actually wish they would get rid of the space gray and go for a darker device.
Space black like the watch.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Space gray doesn't matter anymore.
A new home button that's pressure sensitive but not clicky.
I don't know about that.
I'm weighing in there. Is that like there.
Soft buttons on Android?
Bingo.
Is that what they're saying?
Yes.
But then where's the Touch ID?
But pressure sensitive. I have no idea.
I don't think they can get rid of Touch ID just yet.
Putting it on the back, just like all the other phones.
I don't think we've seen that either.
They're going to cover the Apple logo, Kenny. Come on.
Oh, what if the Apple logo was the Touch ID, though?
Yeah.
Don't cover it, but you just put a ring around the Apple.
Ring around, pocket full of headphones.
That wouldn't be too bad.
Pocket full of dongles. The elimination of the headphone jack.
I think that's pretty much sealed up.
Huge rumor, probably happening. And possibly support for a Japanese tap-to-pay system.
I think that one's the most like coin flip at this point. Because they're able to keep that a secret. But it would be a huge sell for them, right? Oh, you don't know what I'm saying.
No, just drinking coffee. Sorry. I expected you to carry elaborate. That on. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Nope. I got nothing else to say on that good, one. Good. Kyle.
Well, then following Kenny. Following Hold apples.
On. Why is my throw up sound not in space, but Aaron is.
Not sure. Kenny, Apple's event will come shortly before Sony executives take the stage in New York for the PlayStation event. And they are expected to unveil two new consoles. Here they are. The PlayStation 4 Slim. Redesigned. But basically the same stuff as the current PlayStation 4.
Yeah, they did this with the PS3.
Bingo. And the 2. They did it with the 2, the Slim.
Oh, you're right. They did it with all of them. The
tiny, tiny PlayStation
And it flipped 2. Open rather than the disc tray.
Oy boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was more like the PS1.
They brought back the PS1 as well. Yes, as a very, very tiny, tiny system. And then the 4K... capable PlayStation 4 Neo. That's the rumored name, at least.
Aha. I think it's less about the 4K capable and more like, hey, if you want VR, you should get this one.
Yeah, 4K capable. Mm-hmm.
I think the regular PlayStation 4 should be able to handle the VR, but probably not moving like forward through next year, maybe. Like they're going to say, you know, all these starter games, totally. They can run VR. It's fine. There's no lag. But if you want to start playing the new PS4 VR games, you got to get the new one. You got to get the Neo.
So the point is for that to let it play all of the PlayStation 4 games that currently exist and be compatible with whatever newer games are coming out.
Right.
Okay. Got it. Interested? Question mark?
It's hard not to be interested because I really like my PS4. And if they show me a new console that has games that look even better than they look right now, that's hard to pass up.
And plus, I totally want something strapped to my face. So maybe we'll see.
Well, we can do that. We can do that without just a new PlayStation.
Yeah. Okay. Just put the PlayStation on my face.
Yeah. There you go.
That sounds good. Hey, Kenny, speaking of games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
These are today's headlines.
Yes, speaking of games, Kyle, Google Maps now has a catching Pokemon feature in Timeline. Hey, do you know what Timeline is? I didn't, so I had to look it up.
Okay.
Timeline is the feature in Google Maps there where you go, you click on the little three bars in your Google Maps, and you can go to your timeline, and it's lower in the little features there, and you can see all the places that Google's been tracking you.
Ah. Okay, so like Google Latitude used to do.
Exactly, Google Latitude for all you legacy out there. Pokemon Go might be losing some steam, Kyle, but the smash hit mobile game is still popular enough for Google Maps to add a dedicated, quote, catching Pokemon activity option in Timeline. That's right, you can now indicate in maps when and where you've been playing Pokemon Go by selecting the newly added catching Pokemon option for all the people who are watching your data. Or I guess for yourself.
I'm just going to say here for the two of us.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. I don't really use Pokemon Go or Timeline or any sort of feature like that where, in fact, I launched Timeline for the first time today and I was looking at where I've been or where it's been tracking me. And I thought, yeah, I've been there. That's cool.
Okay.
That's it.
I think it's supposed to be said a little more like, oh, I've been there. Hey, I've been there. Like that.
Okay. A little higher register.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
All right. And moving on here, probably I'd call it the saddest news. I'm really saying this up.
Okay.
The Galaxy Note 7 ditching batteries from Samsung's own SDI arm. Samsung is really in a heap of trouble. The case with the exploding batteries on the Galaxy Note 7 has become a total mess, and Samsung will have no one else to blame but themselves. That's because the batteries in affected units apparently came from Samsung SDI, the company's own battery making affiliate. After this fiasco exploded, literally for some, Samsung has reportedly decided to stop using those batteries in future production of the ill-fated Galaxy Note 7. Now, cool. I'm also going to tell you about the recall. It's going to cost Samsung a, quote, heartbreaking amount.
Gasp.
And, Kyle, I'm sure you're aware by now that they were forced to issue a global recall of the Note 7 last week following reports that some of the handsets were randomly bursting into flames while on charge. Now, I didn't realize it was when they were charging, which I think is
either.
A little worst.
Yes.
Worst.
It is the single, more like a sausage, I think.
Ah, yes. Yeah. It was the bratwurst of them all.
Yes. In fact, it was.
And it was later discovered that a faulty battery was to blame for the explosions that we just covered. I'm reading another article. This puts Samsung in a rather tricky situation. It could either replace all 2.5 million units that had already been produced, including unsold stock, or it could simply recollect them and issue phone owners a full refund.
I think you made your own phoners. Phoners.
Mm-hmm. Boners.
Phone
owners. Refund owners.
Mm-hmm.
The firm decided to leave it up to customers to choose which of those two options they'd prefer. Which would you choose, Kyle? If you had a Galaxy Note 7 currently right now, it didn't explode, but you knew that it was possible
for it to
explode.
What
would you do? Would you go for full refund and go grab the new iPhone that's coming out? Or,
yes.
Oh, that was easy.
Yes. Just give me my money back. I do
literally know. Literally the worst timing for them.
That is true. Yes. IFA is also going on right now, I believe. But I have not seen a whole lot come out of there.
What's IFA?
Some
is that
sort
like
of
the FIFA
mobile
championship, but
yes,
they don't play football?
No effing, I believe. Is
Oh, Kyle!
What? It's what it's minus the letter, and then that's what I meant.
Oh.
Hmm?
Well, moving on for the headlines column, missing spacecraft. The missing spacecraft located on Comet. Yeah, that's right, Kyle. With its legs poking out of a dark crevice on a speeding comet many millions of miles away, the Philae spacecraft, you remember that, missing since 2014 after a 10-year trip, has been finally found.
Ooh.
Huzzah! Scientists at the... All right. Scientists at the European Space Agency announced on Monday that they had located the lander, which touched down on Comet 67P. Or Garko's help, please.
Momentarily, please hold.
Oh, sorry.
I was absolutely 1,000% not ready. Well, it
totally touched down on November 12th, 2014. I think we covered that on one of our shows. Here's the name.
Here it is. Bless you.
Could not have done that.
No, I don't believe
either way. I'm very impressed that they were able to get photos and actually spot the fallen lander.
But now what?
Definitely. I mean, I think they had hopes that they could rescue it, or not rescue, but resuscitate it to a certain extent. But I think at this point they found it's just like it's crashed, it's wedged, it's done. But I think there's a little bit of solace to be taken here because they've found it. They know that it's on there. They know that it didn't bounce off. Because I think that was one of the options that they had laid out. They're like, well, it landed, but it landed really hard.
Right.
And it may have bounced into space.
Or just exploded. You don't know. Yep.
But the fact that it survived landing, it just didn't land on a good spot, I suppose.
Yeah, it's like I'm getting too much sun. I don't want to burn.
I'm going to take some shade in this rock.
Yeah, I'm going to crawl over here. I mean, I don't want half of my armatures to be tan and then not the other half. You know, you gotta be matchy.
I like how thoughtful this robot personality you've made.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, Kyle, 43 million last.fm accounts leaked after 2012 hack. Oh, no. Dropbox was not the only company to suffer an attack in 2012. So did music site last.fm. Now, 4 years after the hack, details of 43 million accounts has been leaked.
Can we talk briefly about why you say last.fm? I know that's the URL, the URL that you go to, but shouldn't you
not
just
last
say
last.fm?
That's what I've always said. I just don't know what is life.
I said I think I called it last.fm way back in the past, just because .fm was never that was I think it was the first one that I've ever seen with a different end code like that.
Right. Pure volume.
Purevolume.com.
Yes, I know. It's just
anyway,
bring it all back.
Let's go ahead and fix it then. While Last.fm acknowledged the hack back in 2012, few would have expected the fallout to be felt so long after the event. At the time, the company warned users to change their passwords, but it's likely that a reasonable percentage of the 43 million users affected failed to do so. I know that both of us were users. Well, I don't think we're both still currently users, are
yes,
we?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you still use it? Okay,
I'm tracking. Well, okay.
I don't remember. I don't remember this. I don't remember getting an email saying, "Hey, you should change your password."
Because they didn't want it to come out. Maybe I don't know. 2012. I mean, it's 4 years ago. How are you supposed to remember?
I guess I'm not supposed to remember.
Well, I believe I have a history, a deep, long history of how I've changed my password on last.fm. So I will find out whether or not I have. Bingo. Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to check as well. And so should all of you if you aren't affected. That's awesome, though, that they had 43 million users. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Yeah, they were real close.
In 2012.
Now it's much, 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 much less.
Actually, how is that possible? I can't imagine that they had that many users.
Well, 3 million of them are mine, since I wanted to just snatch up, you know, all the different names. You don't know.
All
you know,
3 million different iterations of your name.
Yes, exactly. You know, quick story before we get to break, or I can tell you in the break, it doesn't matter. I had someone emailing me, asking me if I wanted a email address or a domain name for Roderick. Okay. Roderick.co. $800 for Roderick. Wow. Roderick.co. If anyone's interested in that, get in touch. I'll give it to you because I did not buy it, but I know who has it. Strange. Very strange. Hey, Kenny. Are those the headlines?
Those are your headlines, Kyle.
We're in the
break.
Yeah, we are. Of course, this episode of Morning Show is hosted and delivered to you thanks to our friends over at FeedPress. Kenny, FeedPress is simple, intuitive, and powerful RSS analytics and podcast hosting, featuring accurate subscriber, podcast download, and geolocation tracking, integrated newsletters, automated publishing to popular social networks such as Twitter and Facebook, a slick drag-and-drop podcast hosting interface, and everything you need in order to submit an optimized feed to iTunes. Now featuring 400 megabytes of flexible file storage that rolls over monthly and a new podcast post creation system, you can easily add show notes, artwork, and upload 4 high-quality bitrate MP3s per month, just like we do right here. Hi. Upgrade, Kenny, upgrade that storage. Super easy, super affordable, and starts at a flat rate of just $20 for 1 gigabyte, and that storage also rolls over with you.
Woo!
FeedPress offers an automatic migration tool so you can make the transition with ease to their service. Answer a few simple questions and the rest is taken care of. Your feeds and subscriber data will be transitioned into your FeedPress account, leaving you free to focus on what you do best, which is solicit email address and URLs to people who don't care. FeedPress offers free migration assistance as well, and they'll take care of the hard work for you. Support is responsive and available 7 days a week via email, so get in touch. They can help. FeedPress is trusted by many popular blogs and podcasting networks, such as the Electric Shadow Network, or ESN, Sideshow Network, Unprofessional, The New Disruptors, Inessential, The Brooks Review, 512 Pixels, and of course, right here, bing, goodstuff.fm. Sign up today. Try it. FeedPress is on a 14-day trial, which means you have no contracts and no commitments during that time. So use the promo code MORNINGSHOW. Once that trial's up, you'll get 10% off your first year. A huge thanks to FeedPress for their support of this show and, of course, the entire Good Stuff Broadcasting Network.
Whoa! That's loud!
Ba-da-dum. Bum, bum.
Ah! Whoa, that was loud.
I know. Sorry.
Something got broken.
Kenny, everything's fine. Kenny, everything's fine. Did you know, though, that you cannot trick your dog by being mean in a happy voice?
What does that mean?
So, like,
how are you mean in a happy voice? Like, go sit down, you dude, stupid.
You are such an ugly, ugly dog. Look at you. Yeah, you are. So ugly. Kenny,
wait, how?
You're so ugly. Yes, you are.
Are you saying that dogs can discern the meaning of said words in English?
That's right. Dogs really can understand what we're saying to them, according to a new study. And yes, that does mean if you say mean things to your dog in a friendly tone, your dog knows. A knows. Researchers led by Attila and Dix.
The Hun.
No, that's wrong. Very wrong. At Hungary's... Oh, Garko. Need your help with this. Eötvös-Loránd University puts dogs in fMRI scanners. There's your F. After training them to sit still, according to a study published in Science. I do have one for that one here. We're finding it. Da 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 da.
Science.
Got it. The scientists recorded, Kenny, of course, how the dog's brains reacted to hearing their trainers say different combinations of human words in different tones. The finding should clear up anyone who regularly tells their Pekingese about their day. Dogs can recognize the meaning of different words and intonations, blah, 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 har, blar.
Ba, ba, ba.
No. Don't even start it.
Mm. So just be nice to your dog. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, now here's the difference.
I'm saying.
Okay. I get that they're saying you can't trick your dog by being mean in a happy voice. Okay. But I think you can trick other dogs. I think the difference is that you have trained your dog to recognize your voice.
Sure.
And so trying to, affect a different, what's the word? Attitude towards your dog.
Sure.
Than when you were actually meaning, they can probably pick that up pretty quickly.
Well, let's
because they can tell that you're being disingenuous, and they are dogs should be lawyers. Show title.
They absolutely should not be. Kenny, I need to clear something up though. Is
this a burrito or a dog?
Is that which one are we screaming at?
What are you talking about?
Hey, Kenny, the average color of the universe is beige.
I wouldn't doubt it. Lots of food is beige as well.
True. The universe is fried. Fried universe. Yeah. Can I get it? Excuse me. Hey. Excuse me.
Dum dum.
I need a nice side of fried universe, please. Over here. Hello.
Okay. That'll be $6, please.
Okay. Thank you. Here you go.
Coffee.
Oh, are you eating my product before you pay me, sir?
I am, in fact. That's how restaurants work. Kenny, the universe may appear.
Hold on. What restaurant are you at where I'm like a
you're so angry.
Disgruntled fry cook, I'm telling you how much it costs, and I'm just gonna eat it, whatever.
I called you dumb dumb, so
dumb dumb, and I answered.
True, that is true.
All right, Kyle, tell me about the beige universe.
I'm gonna tell you about the beige universe, Kenny. The universe may appear like a vast expanse of darkness, but the average color is actually beige, according to scientists. Bing. Everything's according to scientists. They studied, Kenny, the color of light emitted by 200,000 galaxies. I thought maybe I could save it, but I can't. 200,000 galaxies to see what the final mix would be if the entire sky was mixed together. So
it would be black.
That's incorrect. It is beige.
I don't really care what they're saying. The color of light emitted. Mm-hmm. That means that the light emitted, it averages to beige. But the average color of the entire universe, that's black.
Mm-mm.
I think there's more negative space than there is positive space.
Don't be so negative. Really? Now.
Pew, 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 pew.
I'm ready to move on to a national day.
Oh, perfect.
Good.
Oh my gosh, I just took a look at it.
Look at this. Kenny, today's national day.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, is National Coffee Ice Cream Day.
Woohoo!
I'm going to take a drink of coffee to celebrate.
What's it?
It tastes like coffee.
Ice cream.
I should just say that for the whole day.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you that sound.
All right.
Coffee, Kenny, is only grown near the equator. From the Tropic of Cancer to the Tropic of Capricorn. Within a 1,000 mile limit.
Before you move on. Which one is the northern? And which one is the southern?
One tropic.
Let's see if you get it right. No, let's see if you get it right.
One tropic goes one way, I saw this on the wall in the Starbucks yesterday.
What?
The Starbucks near the location that I had familial Airbnb'd over the last weekend, there was a Starbucks that I went to that had the exact locations that many coffees are grown that reportedly are drunk upon at Starbucks locations.
All I asked you was which one is the northern and which one is the southern.
Oi. Let's say
it's 50-50 at this point.
Yeah. Cancer's on top, Capricorn's on bottom.
That's correct.
So there you go. 1,000-mile limit.
Tropic of Cancer is also known as the Northern Tropic.
Bingo. 1,200 different chemical components are in coffee, and only 2 are in ice cream.
What?
That's incorrect. I made that part up. Oh. More than half of these components make up the distinguished flavor of coffee.
Oh, interesting.
So over 600. I had a lovely cup of coffee this morning. Can I tell you about it?
No.
It wasn't ice cream, but close enough. There's between 80 and 140 milligrams of caffeine in a 7-ounce cup, according to what I've written here, of coffee.
Oh, not a 7-ounce cup?
No, I have seven once. Mm-hmm.
That's, I'm going to go ahead and fix that with a U.
That is, oh.
I'll fix it with a U.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Mario. That's very nice of you.
Oh, it tastes like a coffee.
It tastes like coffee.
Ah.
Cracking myself up
over here. It's very close. It's very good. 400 billion cups of coffee are consumed worldwide, making it the most popular beverage.
Wait a second. That's it? Just 400 billion cups of coffee are consumed? Not like a year?
Nope.
Just that's in general?
In general, yeah.
Just every second, 400 billion cups of coffee every second of the year.
So I'm gonna go out on a limb real quickly and say that this website that we grab the National Food Days from is awful.
It's, I feel like they are translating from another language.
Dumb, dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
90, I didn't know what you were going to say, but I was going to press it anyway. 91% of coffee consumed is taken at breakfast.
Okay. No, Kyle, other cultures, that's how they use the term taken at breakfast. Mm-hmm. You eat it at breakfast or you drink it at breakfast. It's taken at breakfast.
Taken. Taken, yeah. Taken for breakfast.
But the next sentence is my favorite.
And sometimes is breakfast.
What does that mean?
Sometimes the coffee is the breakfast. Cuckoo, ca-choo.
No, Kyle. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say, and sometimes the coffee is breakfast. It just says, and sometimes is breakfast. And sometimes is breakfast. Okay, show title.
Mm-hmm. I like taken for colon breakfast, but that's...
Colon breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yum. So there you go. Coffee ice cream. You a fan? Since we needed to just
get... Oh, certainly. We yes. need to get my down mother-in-law to, also makes a... My mother-in-law makes a dynamite coffee ice cream.
Period.
Makes.
Oh.
Like concocts.
Okay.
Conjures from the wizard realm.
From the nothingness. Yeah, okay. All right. Interesting.
It's fantastic.
Homemade ice cream is pretty good.
Homemade ice cream is very good, yes.
Yeah.
Except I think she puts a lot of the coffee in it, and it'll really perk you up. In fact, you could eat ice cream for breakfast, and it would have the same effect.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
And it would give you the best excuse for ice cream for breakfast.
Technically, we did that on Friday.
Sure.
Yes. Come on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No veiled statement there.
Okay, so here's my...
Whoa, you got hiccups already, buddy?
Yeah, I know. It's because I finished my lovely coffee from the morning. I had instant coffee this morning. Now, before you get mad at me...
Whoa!
Before you get mad at me, internet.
I'm not going to get mad. I'm confused?
You pour it in the glass, and then you put hot or cold water inside, and it makes coffee. So what?
No, I know what instant coffee is, but I'm saying that's far and away the last thing I would expect you to do.
Right? Right?
For your coffee. Because I know
it's so easy.
Kyle from Morning Show, he's a coffee connoisseur. This guy does the cold press and the hard press and the French press and the bench press.
The full court press and the bench press. I do all the kinds of presses of the coffee.
The newspaper press.
The
button press.
Read all about it.
I got no more press.
Okay.
Why did you go instant coffee today, Kyle?
Well, mostly because I was super lazy and I was woken up at 1 a.m. by my cat's incessant need to have me not live inside my bedroom, but in fact lay on the dining room floor so that he would not be mad any longer.
You got mad cat?
I do. Mad cat disease, I believe.
Holy cow.
There you go. So that's why I had instant coffee. Super lazy.
Wait, does that mean that you've been up since 1 a.m. today?
No.
Oh, you just had to wake up at 1 a.m.
Listen.
Serve your cat.
I was sleeping on the bathroom floor. It wasn't me. Mm-hmm. Shaggy. Hey, I'm ready for record of the week.
Perfect.
So last week, we didn't do this on Friday, so we're going to do it today, and then we're going to skip the rest of the week. Last week, Kenny, we scoured the internet looking for people willing to take on world records that nobody cares about at all, whatsoever. We're going to review the three world records that we went over last week and that you listeners voted on at Morning Show AM, morningshow.am. Which one do I say since we said last FM? Dot, I believe the dot, because the AM's not as well known, but you've been listening to this program for long enough. You should know morningshow.am/vote to decide which will receive the award for record of the week. So here we go. Number one, Kenny, was the fastest time to eat 8 tablespoons of marshmallow fluff while standing on 1 foot dressed like a flamingo. Bing.
Yes, the very specific
record. One. Okay. this lag is real bad. Just saying.
There's no lag.
I know. It's in the brain. It's in your brain.
It's brain lag.
The lag's in the brain. The longest pronunciation.
Fastest P Brain III.
That was really bad. Longest pronunciation of the word fresh while wearing a catcher's mask, sunglasses, and holding a blue helium-filled balloon.
All right. Also, the more specific. I think that was even more specific than the first one.
Highly specific. And, of course, record number three, the largest Lucky Charms beard. period.
As unspecific as you could possibly get.
That's right. So what? Which one did you like? Which one was your favorite?
I think the specificity of the first two was really off-putting. Okay. So I think I liked the third one the most.
Aha. Okay. Got it. Marked.
And also, that one I could probably not break.
Ah.
That one seems like a legit... This one's a record.
It's
like,
based on your lung capacity, you know? It's good.
What? No, the Lucky Charms beard.
Oh, you said... Okay. Which one? It's based on your lung capacity...
You know, eating marshmallow fluff. You store it in your lungs.
Yeah. You don't? Okay. All right. So, Kenny.
What kind of autopsy would that be? Because you're totally dying from that.
The worst.
No.
All right. I'm cutting into his left lung here to find out what was... Oh, my gosh. There's marshmallow fluff inside here. Let's take a taste.
That's pretty good. Surprise.
That is the worst.
Surprise.
That is the worst corner ever.
Okay. Well, Kenny,
anyway.
They got
dark really fast.
The results are in. Bing! You're right. Record number three is the winner. Woo-hoo! The largest Lucky Charms beard ever. With Lucky Charms on your face. So there you go.
That's changed recently. Because I know that they don't do shapes anymore. Right? Lucky Charm?
Of course they do shapes. Whoa, wait. What do you mean?
Lucky Charm.
What do you mean they don't do shapes?
Like now I think it's just colors.
No.
Okay, I clicked on Lucky Charms landing page and oh my gosh.
How can you have just colors and no shape? It has to have a shape.
Hey kids, this is advertising. Please go to LuckyCharms.com, everybody.
What'd you say? LuckyCharms.org?
.com.
Okay.
All right, guess what? Mm-hmm. That's all they have here.
Oh. Why? This looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, but down in the lower left corner, they say, hey, kids, this is advertising. That's it. I can't click on anything.
I like this. I like this a lot. This is really good. And a breakdancing Lucky Charms guy. Whatever's going on.
Images.
Here. I love this. Hey, this will be in the show notes. Kenny, do me a favor. Tell the dear listener who has made it this far into this program where, in fact, our show notes can be found.
Our show notes can be found at morningshow.am, or you can go to goodstuff.fm/morningshow and you'll find our show notes there.
Perfect.
It'll be the latest episode.
Yes, it will.
So you'll see it.
Let's move on. Kenny, upvote, downvote.
Yes, you're right. They are shapes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're still shapes, no matter what. They have to have some sort of shape, whether they are shapeless or...
Rainbows, hearts, shooting stars. Mm-hmm. That one looks like a beaker.
Isn't it part of a song? A I feel like it's part of a song.
A moon, a red balloon, a horseshoe. What is that one?
99 Luft marshmallows. Boom. Hey, I've got a story here for you while you're distracted. Braggy. Braggy. Quit bragging. Braggy.
Braggy. Braggy.
They've unveiled wireless headphone earbuds ahead of Apple's event. You remember when they announced a Kickstarter campaign to do activity tracking and storage and wireless earbuddy things from Braggy a while back? They were called the Dash. I want to say about 4 years.
Yeah, Braggy Dash.
Yeah, 4 years ago or so.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, all right. Well, they've decided to, I guess, pivot a bit and remove all of that tracking and heart rate and all that junk, all gone, in favor of just a purely headphone model with a couple of non-touch sensitive buttons. You press it, you kick it, you know.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. They look about the same. They're two separate earbuds. You put them in each ear and they work about the same.
I think this is the thing that I'm most worried about for wireless earbuds.
That they're separate?
Well, for one, they're not connected to anything. So well,
they're connected to the phone. What do you mean? Oh, you're going to lose one and then you're...
What I'm saying is you're physically connected.
Ah, yeah. That makes sense.
I guess, I'm sure that they've tested enough that they know that they will stay in your ear. But that's the thing I would be most afraid of. I suppose that they would win you over if you started running and then you found out, oh, they're not falling out of my ears.
Or you forget.
Or
you only leave one in and you let the other charge.
You remember when the Bluetooth headset came out and you'd have all the business people and all the people had the little, you know, hands-free little like piece of plastic sticking out of their ear, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And we all thought, oh, those guys are so dumb.
It's not a remember when, Kenny. It's in fact,
it's still happening.
Have you seen? Yes. Have you seen me recently? Yes.
I guess that's true.
Wow.
This is only like fueling the fire at that point, right? Because now you're going to start seeing a lot more people have the wireless earbud devices and just like all the time.
Yes.
Now do these act as,
do they microphone? Tune out the world?
No. Can you put microphone so that you can talk on them?
I would assume so. Yes.
But how does that work?
What do you mean? How does it work?
It's a way up in your ear. How is it getting my voice?
You don't talk out of your ear. I do.
Blah, blah, I talk blah, out of my butt.
Blah, blah, blah. Har. Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right. How much are these going to be, Kyle?
You remember when... These, Kenny, as I click on the link and stall briefly, I'm looking at a $150 price tag. They're actually available for pre-order starting today at the low, 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 low price of $119. So, if you'd like to get your grubby chili fingers on these separated earbud pod things.
See, I would love to try them before I buy them. But that's gross.
That's not how that works. Yeah, no. You can't do that. You,
I guess I would need to buy a really cheap version of just wireless headphones.
Yes, I would. I would recommend that. There are a multitude on Amazon to choose from.
Maybe I should try that.
Yep.
Because I'm super interested in this in the iPhone 7, and if it doesn't have, if it doesn't have a headphone jack, I have a lot of headphones that have plug-in for a headphone jack. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Not plug it into your phone.
That on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The thing is with the iPhone 7. I'm sorry to go back to that. Also, I'm gonna upvote this one because I really like the look of them, and I like that it has the soft buttons on the side, so you can do up, like volume up and volume down and stuff. That's really cool. Anyway, the thing that really scares me about not having a headphone jack on the iPhone 7 is that it's not only that you're using headphones with it, but I use it as a device for playing music for other things. Like, you can't plug it in at a party, or you can't plug it in at any kind of thing like that, where you're like, all right, let me play the next song, and you just take the headphone jack. That's it.
What you're encouraging is playing sounds through the speaker now, which is the single most annoying thing you could do in a theater.
Oh, possibly.
Prior to the movie starting, yes.
Possibly the worst thing that you can do is use your iPhone speaker for anything.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So unless they make that just amazing because they got rid of the headphone jack,
yes,
that means that they have more room for speaker
subwoofer. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's subwoofer. Bow, bow, bow. Anyway, that's the scariest part, I'd say. Scariest because there you go. Scariest. I feel like it's gonna cut kind of part of the market, right? The whole point is that you're able to use your iPhone as an iPod device thing.
Just buy a dongle. Hey, what? That's like saying that all my computer games are worthless now because they're on CDs. Just buy a dongle. Buy an external accessory. Come on. Don't you know how Apple works? Come on.
All right. I think. Come on. It's also like all right, guys. Let's move forward. Let's use wireless because we're totally at a point where wireless is totally fine. No latency. No nothing. It's fine.
All right. Don't worry about it.
I can jump on board.
Everything's gonna be okay. Yeah.
Right. I just wanted to say I'm scared.
Maybe you can get on board with this, Kenny. This crab eats human food.
What?
It eats
cheese
and probably
patches.
That's a big crab.
Please take a look at this crab.
Scary eyes
in the show notes. There are a couple of YouTube videos here of a crab eating an onion ring and a crab eating a slice of beef. Please. Tell me what you think first, and then...
All right, I'm watching this guy pick apart an onion ring.
Okay. Like watch these eyeballs.
Listen to these eyeballs.
Listen. Oh! He just grabbed the onion ring. He's moving his...
Oh, he's moving his eyeball!
I'm gonna jump to the point where he's actually taking a bite.
He like pieces it apart.
So, okay.
It's just weird because the eyeballs are like not moving. You know?
Yeah.
And then the food is not within eyeball reach.
I see it.
Okay. All right. I'm a little freaked out.
Oh wait. There's the crab burping up the onion ring. Okay.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Onion rings.
Excuse me, Mr. Crab, what do you think of the onion ring?
It tastes like coffee. Mr. Crab.
Yes.
All right, Kyle. We don't need to listen to the white noise there.
Kenny, what do you think?
Downvote. That's scary.
What?
It looks like robot crab. I don't believe it.
Come on,
that crab's gonna die really fast.
What? Because he ate an onion ring.
Oh, you know what would be great though? I'm actually going to upvote this one for for the fact that when the crab actually does eventually die, and this guy is like, "Oh, my crab died. Might as well eat it."
Oh, it's going to taste.
The crab meat is going to taste amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to taste like beef and onion ring.
Oh my gosh. What? Oh. It's like the turducken, but for crab.
But the crab is the crab is sealing his own fate there.
True.
He's like, sure, I'll eat this.
All right, we're
just stuffing them full of other flavors.
I can't stop.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm a crocodile.
I can't stop.
Wow, that crocodile bit was loud.
Because I was about to play. That's why.
All right, and that's it.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad I was able to share this moment with you. I'm really in the mood for some crab.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Let's. I like what's going to happen next, Kyle.
Two stupid games. What are we playing today?
Kyle, two stupid games. The first game is, how high is your pizza IQ? Or pizza Q.
Pizza IQ.
Pizza Q.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to ask you some questions, and they're multiple choice. So here we go. Here's the first one.
All right.
Where was the first pizzeria in the United States? Was it Manhattan, Brooklyn, New Haven, or Chicago?
Manhattan
is correct.
Oh.
What's on a traditional margarita pizza, Kyle?
Mm-hmm.
There's three options here. Marinara sauce with a light dusting of pecorino romano or parmigiano reggiano. Is it fresh buffalo mozzarella or fior di latte, olive oil and freshly ground pepper? Or is it San Marzano tomatoes, fresh buffalo all the Italian words.
Wow. What? Here, I got that for you. I got that for you. Go ahead.
Hey, Kyle, what is unusual about the crust of the Chicago deep dish pizza?
I don't like this at all.
Is it traditionally gluten-free? Is it buttery? Or it's sweet? Crust of Chicago deep dish.
Let's say buttery, huh? Or sweet.
Oh, you got to pick one.
Buttery.
That's correct.
Oh, quiet.
What was the first frozen pizza brand? Celentano, Celeste, or Elios?
Celeste.
Oh, it's Celentano.
Kyle, what was the first pizza chain in the United States? Was it Pizza Hut, Shakey's, or Domino's?
Shakey's?
Yeah.
Huh.
Of course, it's the one we don't know anything about.
Right.
Which regional style is closely associated with clams as a topping?
Clam.
Is that Boston style, grandma style, or New Haven style?
Goodness. Let's do Boston style.
No, it's New Haven.
Never been. I feel like these are a lot of East Coast questions. I don't like this.
Well, that's where pizza originated in the United States, Kyle.
Fine.
What's the main difference between Sicilian pizza and grandma slice? Sicilian crust is thinner. Is it Sicilian crust is thicker? Or the Sicilian sauce is much chunkier?
Let's say Sicilian is thinner.
Oh, it's thicker! Which meat is most common in Chicago deep dish pizza? Sausage, meatball, or seasoned ground beef?
What's the difference? Seasoned ground... No, sausage. Let's do sausage.
Sausage is correct.
What's the difference?
What's on a classic New York white pie? Is it mozzarella and ricotta with no tomato sauce, raw chopped garlic and grated cheese, or white cheddar and no tomato sauce?
The first one.
That's correct. What is the origin of French bread pizza? Ooh. Was it originally sold in cafes in Paris and Nice? It was developed by Stouffer's as a more satisfying version of a frozen pizza, or it was created by a food truck in Ithaca, New York.
Oh, man. Let's go Stouffer's.
No, it was created by a food truck. All right, Kyle. There's a lot more questions. Do you want to keep going?
How many more?
Oh, there's like 10 more questions.
Oh, no. Okay, let's only do one stupid game today.
All right, that's fine. We'll do the other stupid game next week.
That sounds good.
What is pizza bianca? Is it mozzarella and ricotta, no sauce, no cheese, no sauce, but topped with olive oil and coarse salt, or sauce on top of mozzarella instead of below it?
Ooh.
Pizza bianca.
That's got to be the first.
No sauce?
Yeah.
Oh, it's wrong, Kyle.
What is it?
Olive oil and coarse salt.
Interesting.
Kyle, which city is known for its jumbo slice style? Is it Washington, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, or Denver?
Oh, a jumbo. D.C.
Yeah.
Never bad.
What is unusual about St. Louis style pizza? Is it a processed cheese blend called Provol instead of using mozzarella? The crust is very soft and airy, or it's traditionally served with a meat sauce instead of a tomato sauce.
Oh, I like the first one.
That's exactly right. Kyle, where was Hawaiian pizza invented? Was it Hawaii? Duh. San Diego, Ontario, or Melbourne, Australia?
Oh boy. Let's keep it local. Let's go San Diego.
No, Ontario, Canada. I almost said California.
Just because they've got the Canadian bacon.
What is the cornichon? What is the cornichon of a pizza? Is it a layer of cornmeal at the bottom of some types of pizza?
Okay.
Is this a fancy word for the outer crust of a pizza not covered by sauce and or cheese? Or it's a chef jargon for char on a pizza crust?
Oh. Let's go with the last one.
Chef jargon is incorrect.
Is it the corn?
It's the fancy word for the outer crust of a pizza not covered by sauce and or cheese.
Bah.
Can you have Garko read... I'll type it in the notes at the very, very bottom.
Very, very.
Cornichon.
Do, 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 boop, do, do, do. See now it? Just got to wait for it to show up. Ba, 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 ba.
What a waste of time. Come on, Kyle.
Hey, no, I'm just waiting for it to reload.
Then so. You. Why don't you just type it?
I don't know how to spell it. How am I supposed to? Oh, there it is. Garko.
Cornition.
I'm close.
Garko.
Kyle, moving on. What's the main difference between Trenton tomato pies and Philadelphia tomato pies? The Trenton pies are round and Philadelphia are rectangles. Trenton pies are served room temperature and Philadelphia pies are served hot. Ugh. Trenton pies are meatless and Philadelphia pies have anchovies in the sauce.
Well, yeah, let's go see. Last one.
Meatless and anchovies?
Yeah.
No, Kyle, they're round and rectangles. That's the difference.
I hate this. Two more here. I hate this game.
What is distinctive about Detroit style pizza? It's usually about an inch thick. It's traditionally served with a drizzle of hot sauce on top, or it's cooked in a pan and the cheese caramelizes and gets crispy on the edges. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, let's go with the last one.
That's correct.
Sounds really good. I was expecting just like a drizzle of motor oil over the top, maybe.
Yeah. This is the last one.
Okay.
What cool. is, I can't, sorry, the word is throwing me off. What is...
Okay, just copy and paste it again. I'll try. let's try this again. Come on.
Sphinction.
Sphincter?
Okay, I got it. Hold on. Here we go. There it is. Okay, it's in there. Saving. All right, there we go. I'm sending it to you. This is the last question, and it's the hardest one to pronounce.
Ah, okay. Garko?
Svensson.
Svensson. It's okay.
Hi.
Sure.
Hi, Kenny. I'm Svensson.
All right, Svensson. Are you a fancy word for the exposed sauce between the cheese area and the pizza of the pizza and the crust of the edge? Or are you a variety of dried Italian beef typically found on pizzas in Rome? Or are you a type of Sicilian pizza with the anchovy tomato sauce and a dusting of grated cheese and breadcrumbs instead of mozzarella?
Oh, sounds good. Gosh. Based on the Cornishian name, my assumption would be that it would be the first.
The fancy word for the...
The fancy word. Right. Right. Okay.
And so that is incorrect, that. Kyle.
Are you kidding me?
It's a type of Sicilian pizza with the breadcrumbs.
I hate this. All right.
You got half right.
Okay. Well, what does that mean? What's my
pizza
IQ?
Knowledge is pretty basic. You've got a lot to learn.
Feel really bad. The majority of... See, okay. I feel like we're on the wrong coast for this pizza stuff.
Yeah.
By the time it gets here, it's cold, and that's all I've learned to love.
I'll say that was unfair for you.
Right.
For me, it was a lot of fun.
That's when, we thought it was going to be a great quiz, and then it was awful because I did terribly, and I haven't had East Coast pizza ever. That's how that went. Hey, Kenny, you can find, I'll put that link there into the show notes. If you'd like to review some of those questions and learn a couple of tidbits of pizza trivia, please do so. goodstuff.fm/morningshow. You can also email the show. I'm Kyle at roderick.co. That's going to bounce back with a mailer daemon. And then you'll have to resend it to Kyle at goodstuff.fm because I'm not paying $800. Nope. Ah! You can follow us also on Twitter. GoodStuffFM is the network. Morning Show AM is the Twitter for this program. Kenny is Pizza Robotics and I am Dog Burps.
I think you have to actually pull a dog burp clip now.
Okay. I will. So the quintessential one that I would like to pull is from Christmas Vacation, and it's from when the dog is under the table. So I will do that, and that will end up in the soundboard.
Perfect.
Please, if you would, rate the show and review us on iTunes. That is what helps other people go through the same torment that you are.
No.
Please would you? We would appreciate it. And also visit our friends over at FeedPress, feed.press. You can try it for 14 days, no contracts or commitments, and just say hello from us. Use the promo code MORNINGSHOW. You'll get 10% off. That's it. We'll be back on Friday. I'm excited for Food Friday. Hey, Kenny, I got the soda. You need to go get the soda.
I forgot.
It is not in your possession. So then on Friday, we will be back with another lovely program and another installment of Morning Show. Until then, goodbye.
See you later, guys.